Good morning.
It's good to see you guys. Good to be with all of you. Thanks for coming early on a Sunday to the City Huddle. If you haven't, does everybody have handouts? Good. Help me, those of you, especially by the doors, people come in without handouts, just to redirect them back to get those.
We'll make sure we get them.
If that's the case. So let me start up just by praying for our time, and then we'll jump in. Lord, I thank you especially for each of these people who meet in various places in various ways. And when we provide leadership in your kingdom, Lord, we are helping to advance your kingdom. It's not because there's anything particularly special about us or better than somebody else apart from the image you've placed in us and the unique value you've given us. But we are participating with you in the work you're doing, and I just thank you for that. Pray that you would use this time to help us as a church community to grow and strengthen in our leadership and our coherency and our vision and our values and the way we press forward into these spaces. Pray you bless this time. Amen. So we got a couple of quick updates for you guys on the front end that tagged a handout. One of them is this first kind of multicolored city groups page. Back in our first leaders huddle, somebody asked for just information on groups and updates as a standard thing. And this is something I wanted to try and incorporate just so you guys are aware of. All right, what groups do we have, like right now, who's doing this? So this is it. This is all the groups. The members on the right are kind of the max anybody that's potentially considered the possibility for coming on a regular basis. So I would say those are definitely inflated from what we're seeing every week standpoint. And then the frequency is really probably just accurate for the most part on the day of the meeting, not so much how many times the group meets. So that's just the thing. The colors, let's see, the reddish color are discipleship groups that are associated with a home group. So a home group, the most typical rhythm would be a home group's meeting probably four times a month. Every other week is that home group, everybody together meeting, and then the off weeks, maybe the men are meeting for their discipleship group, and then 2 weeks out, the women are meeting for their discipleship group. And then the blue groups are all standalone discipleship groups. The yellow are home groups, and then I colored the dinner Bible study green. It's a little unique in terms of all the groups we have, but is moving more toward the home group format. So you can keep this. We're pretty full, but not totally full. I don't know that there's a group leader that we have that wouldn't accept someone new if they felt like the Lord was saying, we should bring this person in. But our discipleship groups, when they get past eight, are pretty challenging. And that's probably eight, like people that are consistently coming. So home groups wise, the capacity has a little bit more to do with each specific leader and the place that the groups are meeting. So you can get a sense for the numbers and that sort of thing. So I'm going to try and keep on advancing this in terms of its helpfulness and the data that's on it. But if you have any questions on this, don't hesitate to let me know. Other than that, Jay, let's have you update us on the giving and finances.
Yeah, so giving finances, we wanted to take a moment just kind of share where we're at as a church. We knew coming into this year the budget was going to be lower than in previous years, so we planned for that by reducing it by, I think, $1,000 or $2,000. And some of that was given the last 2 years. We sent out two churches and actually a third to Canada. So H2O, Kalamazoo, and then New Life Ipsy this year, which would those take regular givers from our church and send them on. So that impacts the budget. And then also the team that we sent to Toronto, which now has got Zoe Church up and running there, reaching Toronto college students. So in light of all that, and then just the regular ebbs and flows of people moving in and out of Ann Arbor, we planned for it to be lower this year. And then where it's actually settled out is even lower than we were anticipating. So what that means is this fall, we've been tracking that and we've been operating within the giving that's coming in, and then we're going to make adjustments to actually bring the budget for the rest of the year to be planned that way. But we wanted to just highlight that December is usually one of the highest giving months of the year. End of year giving, we usually see a 30-50% uptick in giving, and so I just wanted to invite all of you as leaders to consider praying about how the Lord might have you give to the church. It helps everything that we're doing. We are actually, I think, more excited than ever about what God is doing in and through this church, not just with the sending, but what's happening here on the ground in Ann Arbor still in a lot of different ways. So encourage you to pray. If giving is not a thing that you've jumped into yet, we'd love for you to pray about that as well. Just consistent giving, especially amongst our leaders. And then end of the year giving. If there's something extra that the Lord would have you give, that would be a huge blessing for our operations. And that's something we plan for as a bigger month in December. And we could definitely use it this year. So that's it. I don't know if you had anything to add on that. But.
Nothing that lasts in a minute or two.
What's the actual gap between?
It varies since August. It's probably been between 5,000 and 10,000 lower than what we were expecting per month. And what that plays out to is that the variance is there has been some bigger gifts that came in the last few months. And then it usually our whole plan takes December into account. So that kind of being up in the air, finding the average. But what we're probably going to do is try to reduce by at least $5,000 in our budgeted planning come January. That way it'll hopefully take care of itself.
But I mean, what's the actual shortfall for 2019?
$2,000. No, maybe five fall retreat scholarships.
So we raised $5,000, we'd be on budget?
Annual? $5,000 annual, Joel, or monthly?
The shortfall, and that's where it's like,
because our spending has been less.
Our spending has been less.
We've told the staff, hey, budget numbers are budget. That budget we told you, it's not great based on the income we have right now.
Yeah, so. But what I think you're asking is, we have spent $20,000 less than budget, which is about five a month is the difference. So we've brought our spending down to be within where we're supposed to be.
But our net assets in terms of cash, if you will, per the fiscal year, August 1st, is only down about five total aggregate income versus expenses. Not terrible. Good. So I feel like we're catching the problem at a reasonable spot. Any other questions on groups or any of that kind of stuff? Okay. Let's move on to, we have kind of two major chunks for today's time. The first is we want to update you guys on city structure and staffing. So Jay, that's you again, my friend.
Well, I think, are you sure?
Well, you can, yeah, probably. Well, okay.
You're
just going to intro the time concept and then Sarah.
Gotcha. All right, so one of the things I wanted to highlight was just our city staff. We've had a few organizational changes in the last year, and we're pretty excited about where we are as a staff team and where we're trying to go in the future as well. So we currently have 4 staffers, and then we have a 5th who is volunteer interim director as well. Was I going through all the roles real quick?
I think I'm going to share first, and then you're going to go back to them.
Okay, so I'm going to pause there.
I have the opportunity to share with you today about some structural changes that we're making to the New Life City big picture. And that is that beginning in January 2020, we are dissolving the formal phase 2 ministry and not using the words phase 2 anymore. So we've already started making that shift somewhat. If you directed someone to sign up for a small group this year, they signed up for an intergenerational home group or grad student and professional home group with more vague language, but clear that grad students and young professionals are still welcomed here. When we originally started the ministry over 10 years ago, it was really important to young adults that there was a separate ministry directed at them, caring just for them. And it was wildly popular, super busy. But in the past 10 years, as culture has shifted, we've actually found that it's communicating to many young adults that you're separate, you're other, like you're not a part of this bigger picture. And so what we are trying to do is incorporate the phase 2 community more into the larger church structure. So as we seek to be an intergenerational church, how can we blend this unique group of people in better? If you look at the data for who is in the phase 2 ministry right now, we range from 22 to 52. 2 people just had babies and 2 more are pregnant. And so it's really is already an intergenerational diverse ministry. And so we're going to continue on shepherding and caring for these people, but we won't be using the phase 2 title anymore at all. What does that mean for our existing phase 2 groups? Not a ton is changing for them. So a phase 2 discipleship group It's just going to become a city discipleship group. It's not obligated to join a home group or make any large changes. They're going to keep doing what they're doing. I've had the opportunity to visit most of them and share about these transitions and changes that are coming up. And most of them are like, well, okay, sounds good. It seems like it's that most people are generally excited about the opportunity to be a part of more intergenerational opportunities. So talking with group leaders, asking them, hey, what demographic are you most excited about having in your group? Would you mind if a mom or a dad joined your group? Or you feel like, man, grad students are really my jam. Keep sending me grad students, and still working with them to foster a community that they are excited about and happy to serve in. We'll be talking about this more later. All of our phase two now city discipleship groups will be making that transition to that new city small discipleship group schedule that we talked about. Big picture, what that looks like, instead of sending a weekly email with events, updates, lunch locations, opportunities to serve, we'll be just sending that out monthly, and it won't have phase two in the title. It'll just say grad student young professional opportunities at New Life Church. There will still be opportunities for people to connect in a co-ed manner, but we won't be having a weekly time just for grad students and young, marketed towards grad students and young professionals, and we will most likely be cutting back on some of the bonus events that we do targeted just for grad students and young professionals. And the hope with some of that is that we would redirect that time and energy towards activities and events that can bring us together as a larger church family. So as grad students and young professionals say, hey, I'd really like more interactions with undergrads or families, we are gonna try to do a better job at that. No decision on things like fall retreat yet. We're still in discussion if we're going to continue to do that. My instinct is yes, mainly because I love fall retreat and we see a lot of good fruit from it. But there are some things that we are going to just be talking with small group leaders and young adults and grad students about, hey, what would continue to serve you in this process? And so far, it's our awesome discipleship groups. It's lunch on Sunday. It's being kept in the know about what opportunities are. We also run a dinner and Bible study on Thursday night that is predominantly geared towards grad students and young professionals, and that is going to be changing over to a Thursday night home group. So still meeting on Thursday night, still meeting at the church. It actually serves a really unique population, and so we're not interested in making any big changes to that because of the gap that it's filling in our church of who it serves. It'll just be called a city home group now because it's a co-op group. Lots of words, questions. What questions here? Yes.
You mentioned fall retreat being up in the air. Is that, I'm going to use old terminology, phase two involvement or
yeah.
a fall retreat?
No.
Phase
two involvement.
Phase two involvement, okay.
My instinct is that we will, but as we make this change, we really want to go line by line and examine everything and figure out, man, where are we putting our money, our time, our people towards it? And is this the best way to shepherd and reach this flock?
Fall retreat in general is a zero question mark for
yeah.
next year.
Yes.
Right. It's
gonna happen.
Yes, DG. So it's cool. I love the idea of trying to do more integration there and whatnot. Have you seen or do you anticipate seeing most saying, rather just be with grad students and kind of be in the same fold, or do you anticipate more saying, spamming out to the family, so to speak, home groups, hey, you know,
yeah.
these three grad students that love to get plugged in.
Yeah. It's been a pretty good mix thus far. I would say one thing we're hoping to do a better job in 2020 is helping people understand all of their group options. And we do have just this deeper desire for people to know other people.
Yeah.
So I think that it's a little bit up in the air. I think all but two of our groups right now are only single people under 35. So most of our groups are already mixed
in
up.
That. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But they are not associated with a home group. These phase two discipleship, formerly phase two discipleship groups, they are freestanding and they're welcome to stay freestanding.
And I think the main reason I bring that up is as we potentially fold some folks in, Mm-hmm. I know we've had like Chris McCurry join our group, which has been mm-hmm. awesome, and he loves our kids and loves just making sure we care for the folks who come in, you know, as a lot of the talking folks around babies and kids raising and
yeah.
things like that. If you have thoughts for us how we can serve grad students, young professionals that come into our groups.
Your concern is that
we'd love some feedback.
Yeah, that somebody would be excited to attend your home group and then disappointed if it's all marriage and baby talk.
Yeah. Right.
Our home group has 29 kids in it. So
yeah. Is that right?
I'm an adult student and I love kids. That's awesome.
I'll say that.
That's good to like, know. Yeah.
I think that was a plus on Chris' side. He loves our kid, he knows our families, yeah. you know, but someone new coming in. Like, I think of having grad student in our group or young professional be awesome. Like, I'd be all for it. I just wouldn't want them to be disappointed. And yeah, it's going to be hard to not have that theme, you know, dominate yeah. a lot of the conversation. So,
as Marie, what I also heard is you could have the opposite where a family joins
yeah.
one of those, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, I don't think we only have. One parent in a, two parents in a discipleship group formerly known as phase two right now, but we'd totally be open to doing that more. Or if there were a missional family or couple that wanted to help out with our Thursday night home group, I could tell you more about what makes that so special. But it is absolutely open to be both directions.
And actually, one of those D groups like that, and ones is just almost all parents actually at one. So yeah, we're wide open
yeah.
now. At the stage of the game, boundaries are kind of taken off on the.
I think too, if we have adults who are excited about forming intergenerational communities, now's the time. We'd love to talk to you about making an intergenerational discipleship group, or if you know someone who is like, man, that they really love that opportunity. We're just looking for more ways for more people to connect. What other questions do you have?
So, with the traditional phase two Thursday evening group becoming more of a city group, is there any change in terms of attendance expectations or culture in there? Maybe it's just me, but I've previously seen that phase two group as like, a lower commitment, lower threat thing that you could invite people not necessarily already in the church to. But to me at least, like a city group like that speaks a bit more to more commitment, a bit more formal.
Yeah.
Am I interpreting that wrong or what's going on with that?
Great question. That Thursday night home group is still gonna be a front door opportunity. Anyone is welcome. Come and go as you please. It's definitely a show up late, leave early, let me know if you want us to save you some pizza thing. So if you are inviting, if you are looking for an easy way for someone to meet a staffer, aka me, and get connected, like that Thursday night home group is a great spot for that. So our discipleship groups are definitely an area where we are looking for people to commit and really be plugged in, but that home group is still open. Good question.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Should we transition?
Yeah, I think so.
So my last things on that are, have met with almost every group leader previously, a phase two group starting in January, but we'll also be having at least one open Q&A time where people in the ministry can come and ask questions and get feedback. And if there's someone who's not associated with a group that hasn't heard the news yet, they'll be getting an email and an invitation to that discussion time.
And we're wide open to questions pretty much at any time. Our
or
time this morning is somewhat limited, but
feedback.
Just in life.
Mm-hmm.
So the big question there is, what will be Sarah Marie's new role out of all this? Because she was the phase two director. And this is something our city staff seemed actually pretty excited about. Because what we're transitioning her to role, it continues to align with her strengths, her gifts, but I think it gives even a broader focus and reach of her skill set. Not just in the city, but to the broader church, which we're, her title is the mobilization director at this point. So she is the city mobilization director. And that's something that we created
It didn't exist. It's something that I, in the back of my head, have been wanting to figure out for a long time. I think it's an area we've struggled, which is actually connecting, guiding, and inspiring the city side of the church into the life and rhythms of the church. We have tried a lot of different ways, but to have someone whose main focus is going to be doing that, which is actually what she, like, she lives, eats, breathes, sleeps this already anyway. And so there's a lot of different responsibilities in there. She's going to continue to be equipping, establishing people as they get connected into the church, into groups, but that'll be kind of a handoff in that sense. She'll be trying to help equip and train in various settings like Huddle, even mobilizing all of us, individuals and then groups, into what are we doing as a church, both in Justice and Mission and the Thrive. She'll still be the Thrive director as well, overseeing that whole ministry with the women's side. And then in the broader sense of trying to not just do things that are city focused, but how do we actually connect city and campus for greater discipleship, impact. And there's a lot of thoughts and dreams around that, especially as we've seen the city or the campus is shifting in the new year from new life teams to home groups and D groups. There's a lot more alignment that we can even see happening there.
The campus is moving to that?
They're moving away from new life teams to home groups and D groups. All right. So we covered all that in last month, so you can go listen to the huddle and find out more there. So we have five directors. Four are on staff. One is an interim director, volunteer. I just wanted to clarify that for all of you in the room. So Sarah Marie is the mobilization director. I'm the city director, which is mostly focused on vision, big picture, direction. Definitely involved in teaching, equipping, overseeing, and thinking about what we're trying to do and where we're trying to go. Joel is over the groups, so he would be our groups director. He too teaches, equips, does a lot of different things. He's over the huddles. Anything group related is primarily Joel. Obviously, there's a coaching structure. Sarah Marie is heavily involved in coaching, has been in this transition. So either of them are great to connect on that. And then we have Melissa is our new life kids director. So anyone from infant through chaos, our middle school, which is eighth grade, she's over that, which obviously impacts families. And there's a lot of overlap that way into other areas. And then our interim high school director is Chelsea. She's been crushing it as a volunteer with her time. They meet on Sundays, usually every single Sunday night. And then they have one Sunday a month. They're also serving in New Life Kids, which Chelsea and Melissa orchestrated that. And then they also serve in other ways. So we have five main city staff. Beyond that, you can always contact any of the elders, ministers over the whole church too. So, yeah.
Can you clarify? So staff?
Yep.
How does funding flow through staff? And is that changing, or is it still, because there's a slight difference between who's actually hired by New Life,
yep,
and who is...
So Chelsea receives no funding through staff. She's wanted to be all volunteer at this point. Melissa is the only one fully funded and hired through city and the general fund, because New Life Kids, it's hard to go raise support for a church and say,
I'm
going to work with kids. And they're like, who's kids? Don't these people have money? So that was something we landed on a long time ago. And then the three of us all receive subsidy in some part from the general fund at various amounts. And those are things that we're even continuing in conversation about what's best ways that that looks going forward. The financial advisory team is engaged.
We're still support-based.
Okay. But we're still majority support-based.
Okay, thank you.
Definitely majority support-based.
So, good question.
Cool.
And I do have to run.
Jay and I have discovered that whenever we're teaching on Sundays, which is a decent percentage of the time, one of the two of us really only have to about 9 o'clock. So.
Right.
That's so Jay.
I have to step out, but super excited about where the rest of this huddle is going and what we're leaning into in the groups, especially in the future. So I wish I could stay with all of you.
Thanks, Jay. All right, so let's take out the next set of worksheets here. So the one we're looking for is the discipleship, city discipleship groups. We did cover this some of this material last month, and I wanted to start with an apology. Our edits on these, we'd given Jay some very specific edits to make on these docs, and he made the very specific edits that we asked him to, but we should have asked him for more. So I went through and made all the rest of the corrections, particularly as it relates to group expectations and numbers, and made it all so that this is really representative of what we're looking for our city groups. We are trying to integrate campus and city right now so that our our one-pagers on home groups and e-groups, the campus and the city versions, aren't that much different, but they are a little bit different. So you have the city, updated city versions. There's that resource webpage that I put together recently that has the updated version of cities on it too. The home group model isn't a huge change from what we've been doing. It adds a couple of components. The D group model does change more significantly, and that's what we wanted to cover in practice today. So, see. We are actually going to go through these seven, six really-ish components to a default D group, the ones you see here labeled in the number list on the bottom. We're going to actually go through it together. We printed out, this is somewhat of an updated version of the discipleship pathway. There is not a right or wrong version. If you have an old school printed out horizontal version, that's totally fine. I would actually encourage you to use the New Life app or either just discipleshippathway.org on the World Wide Web. It's just a little bit easier than carrying sheets of paper around. You never know when you're going to want to pull it out. But I printed this out for you, so you'll have this today. The main reason for the changes with our group structures is we are trying to incorporate this discipleship pathway into how we do groups. So that is the core, the main core of the change. And the heart of the discipleship pathway is that we are looking to God and asking Him, how do you want us to do life with you? So we worked really hard to make it a series of not check boxes. I just accomplished this and I move on and I'm a disciple now, but just what would it like to learn to, as a lifestyle, follow Jesus. So let's see. Let us jump. Did I miss anything else key on the intro? I just feel like.
I don't think you missed anything that we're not going to talk about.
Great, okay. So let's do it. We're going to walk through in a short, abbreviated version. Most discipleship groups are lasting at least an hour and a half. We're gonna give you a 15-minute version of it. So, yeah, Melissa, you want to kick us off?
I'll kick us off. So you have the format in front of you, and like Joel mentioned, we're going to reduce the times, but model it and actually walk through this format together as a group. We're going to take some intentional time in the Take Time to Hear from God portion and walk through that independently with a little bit more space. But the first few ones on the list, as we go through each of these seven steps, we're going to use a technique called mirroring, which is something I use a lot in teaching, where the three of us, because you have a step out, we're going to just check in and do this in front of you. We're going to model hypothetical situations and ways that you could use these questions, ways you could integrate the steps that we've outlined here to really just check in and be present with the people in your group. So as we go through that, we'll pass it off and we'll check in again the hypotheticals. So the first one that you see, we always want to begin with the authentic check-in time. And I'll read the two bullets that you have here. I think they're great explaining what the purpose is of this spot. So with authentic relationships as our way of life, this is a space where the group will catch up with each other on how they're really doing. We are recommending taking a 30-minute window out of your entire time, but staying here longer is totally fine if that's needed to best care for the people in your group. So I'm going to model it with Sarah Marie, and we're going to pretend that we're in our group together, and I'm going to say to Sarah Marie, "Hi Sarah Marie, I'm so glad to see you. Hey, I know you had a really, really big event last night for the ministry, and it came at a very, very long end of the day. I wanted to hear how it had gone for you. How was it?"
Thank you so much for asking. I feel like it went really well, and we saw some faces that we don't normally see out. They took some pretty big risks to be there, mm-hmm. and people who maybe don't have a great family got to celebrate Christmas mm-hmm. together, and I feel tired but happy.
That's encouraging. I'm so glad that it went well. Sounds like people are really used to you in that space. What was it like for you getting to see new faces come?
The one person I'm really thinking about is someone that I have been trying to get to meet more people for 3 months now. And I don't know why she picked last night, but she did. I'm really excited.
Wow, that's so great. So there you go. Modeling an authentic check-in, staying there longer as needed, is totally fine for your group. And you can move along when you're ready. So the next one, I think Jay was going to cover the next two.
That's me, yeah.
You're going to do it?
Yeah.
Sounds great. Awesome.
So the next piece is Vision of the Bible, and I just want to again say we've got
the minutes here are like guideline minutes. You're not going to lose your job as a group leader if you're not on track with these. It just gives you a sense that this is our thought for what a regular open meeting would look like. Vision of Bible is trying to accomplish two things. One, as leaders, we're consistently, you could have someone else do this too, consistently envisioning the group for why are we gathering? What's the point of us getting together? And this doesn't have to be long, but it's just something that's consistent enough that, you know, if your kids are like, I know, Dad, I know, I got this. It's that kind of repetitive, like, these are the things we care about. And the core of it is how and discipleship and following Jesus. So putting that out there, the other piece is some sort of Bible engagement. And it's going to look primarily like two different paths. One path potentially is your group reads scripture outside of the group time, and then you use the group time to discuss the scriptures. Or if the group's not in a position to do that, we use the actual time, this slot, to study scripture together. So not rocket science, whatever's best for you guys in your group time. We've given you kind of one question to ask here potentially as well if the slot is somewhat tight. So just that question of outside of group time, how did God speak to you through scripture or song or prayer or people or circumstances in life, just a place to begin to open dialogue for how is the scripture working on a person's heart. Make sense? So we're not going to do too much more on that. I think this is probably one of the biggest challenges because most of our groups, I would say, discipleship groups, majority of the time is one and two. Like our current model is mostly one and two plus six praying. So what we're going to add next, the major adds are 3, 4, and 5. This is really the discipleship pathway.
But we remember that scripture is our foundation and prayer is our posture. Mm-hmm. The discipleship pathway is a tool that we use in conjunction with those things, but they are not greater than those things.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. It's just a sheet of paper. You can burn it, make a paper airplane. The whole point is that it leads you to Jesus. So three is going to make a little more sense after we practice four. But three would be follow-up for last week's next step. So I'm gonna in some sense come back to three in a moment, if you'll allow me. So what we're gonna do is in this time, rather than a pretend modeling, we're actually gonna take some time to do this. We're gonna try and hear from God together. And this would, I think, be the perhaps the core of the group time. There's no formulaic way to do this. What we're going to try and do in our discipleship groups is provide space, typically quiet, for people to have authentic opportunity to engage God and ask, what are you pricking my heart on? What are you moving me to? One of the ways to do it that I'd recommend, it's a little bit easier to start, is to go through in this circle diagram format. The outer perimeter are the 12 action steps of the discipleship pathway. And you can formulate questions for each of these actions. The actions are written as an action, but in terms of engaging God, you can ask a question of each of these things. And so it's that kind of top right-ish one, talk with God throughout the day. You can ask in this time, God, how is my communication with you? And kind of asking the questions of each of these areas to try and get a sense of which triad, if you will, is God trying to get my attention in. It might be multiple things, but a good goal is probably a thing. And you may not speak to you at all in that time, and that's okay. You can just apply godly principles and what's a good next step in my life. But the opportunity in this time is to seek the Lord and see, is he bringing something to my heart in particular? So we're going to take a few minutes to do this, probably like, I don't know, 5-ish minutes of uncomfortable silence. And my encouragement to you is just seek the Lord on these things. You don't have to read through this. It could be a verse that he's already got your attention on from this morning, and you dive into that, and then I'll ask a few potentially brave souls, if you feel like God shared the thing with you, put anything in your heart to share that next. Sound good? I'll just pray and open us, and then when I'm silent, that'll be our cue. Lord, I'd ask for each of us as we lead, the spaces that we lead, that you would help make us skillful in leading people to your feet.
my first response in most situations is to try and control it, say the right thing, do the right thing, apply the right formula. But you are the one that has the power and the potency to change us, make us more like you. You alone do that work. And I pray as we enter this time together as leaders, Lord, that you would, even in this moment, bring to mind things for us, things that you have for us, whether it's in our leadership or our relationships, our work, our time with you, Lord, would you bring to mind that which you want us to see?
For those of you listening at home to the audio recording, I'm saving you some time and not including these moments of silence.
Lord, ultimately, everything we do should be about you. No, it's not. That's probably not the reality of our day-to-day experiences, Lord, but I pray that you would make us more and more like that. More and more people who reflect to you in the way we live, the way we worship, the way we engage in community, and the way we engage in the mission you've given us. Would you empower us in this season, Lord, to hear from you, to see the unique opportunities that you have for each of us to move your kingdom forward, to be your hands and feet to a world that needs it. We live in an increasingly polarized society, and I think this society needs you desperately. And each of us does too, Lord, and you are sufficient for us. And as bleak as things can look in the media, in the news at times, Lord, your power is not weakened at all. Your opportunity to move and change lives is very real and very present in our lives. It circles around us, Lord, and I pray that you would help us to hear from you. In your name. Amen. Mm-hmm. So in our actual group times, it'll be twice as long as that. So it is, I don't know, for you guys, it can be an uncomfortably long chunk of silence that some people are going to be used to and others are not. So that's, I think it's going to be a little bit more awkward moving into that rhythm, but our hope is that, gosh, it's a church. What would it be like if we had hundreds of people who were consistently hearing from God? Just huge. It could be huge. One of the things I was talking with someone recently about is just how to, and what it looked like for our church to be more missional in our day-to-day lives. And I think this is it. I think this is the space. We are consistently hearing from God and not waiting for a program or a special event from the church. We just go and obey. We just do the thing he's calling us to, and it moves and inspires others to do the same things, whatever it is God's putting on their heart. So I just think from a cultural standpoint, this could be huge for our church to be more and more like Jesus. And I'm really excited about it. I've actually never seen this circle until this printout. I kind of really like it too. I don't know what you guys think. It's cool. Okay, so back to the outline. Before we move on to step five, I wanted to talk about step three. No, we're going to talk about step five. Okay, so anybody hear anything from God in that time? You feel like he was directing you in any way? You'd be willing to share?
What if I tell you about my step five and then we pretend like it's next week and you ask me about it?
That's what I'm... Great. Well, we can... Because once we talk about step five, step three will make more sense anyway. So, yeah, say it.
I heard from the Lord about area of worship, which was read scripture to know God and take a step to obey him. This has been an ongoing one for me of where I've discovered that the amount of time I've spent in scripture to prep something to teach someone else has been outweighing time of scripture I've been spending just to hear from the Lord for my own personal growth and relationship with him. And so the verse that I've been dwelling on is from Colossians 3:10. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. And those are the things that I want. I want to be holy like he's holy. I want to know him. And so I've been prepping a lot, teaching a lot, whether it's in a small group or a large format. But it's been not in balance with how much time I've been just spending with the Lord for my own time with him. So my goal is that 5 out of 7 days a week would have a portion of the day where reading the word and prayer are just about me and him.
Thank you for sharing. That's great. Mm-hmm. Anybody else have anything God put in your heart?
I am leaving straight from church to go to my family. We had a death in our family this week, and I'm going to be, like, there for the funeral for the next 3 days. And so my time was, the incident happened really last weekend, and I was there all 4 days of last weekend of Thanksgiving, and I was there just for my mom. I was away from my immediate family and there just to support my mom. But this time it's going to be my immediate family, and so I need to play like supporting my mom role, but also still being like the wife and mom to my own family role. And then just thinking about my extended family, like how can I show God to them and how can I be a support to them, yet still doing the other roles too. So just kind of thinking about how this next 3 days are going to go.
Yeah, that's important moments.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing. Any other thoughts? Go back to mine.
I feel like God's been calling me in some specific ways to be thinking through being others oriented. Just trying to figure out where that would fit the wheel. I'm guessing it's in there somewhere. Probably
on the mission side.
Loving our neighbors.
Community.
Which actually, one way it could be my own kids. So I've been thinking about some ways just discipling with my kids, but also just different circles and groups of influence. Whether it be work or through soccer teams, things like that. Just trying to be more intentional rather than passive at those times.
This is kind of one of my next steps to you with this season. This is just a practice that Rose and I try to do on a regular basis, but this season I think provides just additional opportunities because people are a little more open to you doing kind of crazy things in their life, tail end of the year, holidays. Just us brainstorming next steps on moving someone a little bit closer to Jesus. Or encouraging someone who already has a relationship with him, kind of think about next steps and ways we can serve a person practically. So we'll actually put somebody's name on the table or a couple. We were just having a conversation last night. Some friends of ours they have a relationship with God, the wife more than the husband, that we've been trying to serve them and just be with them relationally, sort of move that forward. And we were just even talking about, like, Christmas concert weekend is kind of a good tangible opportunity to try and get more people in the community. And so that's been the conversation for this week, is what invites are we going to cast out? How can we make this event possible for this person? Does one of us need to stay home and watch kids so the others can go? Those kinds of things. So yeah, same.
So Steve, when you think about that and what you heard from the Lord, did you hear him giving you a next step or an idea of where to go, whether it's talk to these people or, hey, come back and spend more time with me?
Yeah. Yep. I have some individual thoughts on individual folks.
Same.
I'll save for outside of this group.
So in this hearing from God, obeying with others, we want to make sure that we're asking good questions that lead to fruit, not just like, I heard him say this, see you next week.
Yeah,
so whether that's following up with Kristen and like finding out what was it like being in all of those roles at the same time, and where did you see God come through in those? Or CBG, you said that you reach out to Larry, Mo, and Curly. How'd that go?
Yeah. Poorly, they just kept hitting each other.
Oh,
it's
man.
Like the worst.
And then I might say,
like, my kids.
and then we might say something like, would you like some ideas? Do you want to talk it out? And we problem solve it together.
And so ideally in that fifth step that you're working with somebody toward hearing from God and then taking a specific, some sort of specific action, some sort of forward progress. And then backing up to number three on the outline, this will make more sense when you're into this rhythm. Then the third section is really following up from what was shared in the group last week. So number three, I might say to Sarah Marie, or just the group in general, how did it go in follow up? And if people are just automatically there, like Steve's like, yeah, it went really well. Actually, I talked to Larry Moe and Curly, and Larry at least this week seemed more receptive to .. If a person is having a hard time remembering, as a group leader, I'm writing down what everybody's sharing. So I can say, Sam, last week I remember you sharing that verse from Colossians, how you really wanted to be more like God. And you even shared specifically 5 out of 7 days you want to try and .. Here's your practice. And so there's a measure of helping people stay on track with the things that they're hearing from God and trying to activate. So that would be step three, which is, it's going to make sense after you've done this once. There wouldn't be a step three the first time to do this.
So, and as we seek to empower our group members, one thing that I recommend is having
having someone, whether it's you or a person in your group, take those notes and email them to the whole group. Mm-hmm. So this is an opportunity to be in prayer specifically for one another. It's an opportunity for everyone to feel committed and embodied into each other's lives. And it doesn't put all the pressure on your group leader to know all the things, remember all the things. You're the only one holding me accountable. We are a group in this together.
Okay, what questions do you guys have so far?
Maybe more of an observation, but isn't it conceivable that step three would also be part of step one, or could also be part of
it
step one?
It could be, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If someone's already covered it, then it's great.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that what we have this outline, remember that it is flexible and made to serve you, and so if that looks like flexing that time around or shifting it, maybe your authentic check-in is 45 minutes and it's over dinner 1 week. So don't feel like it has to look exactly like this. If you need, if someone brings it up in that authentic check-in time, don't feel like you need to go back. We didn't do it in the right spot. You have to share again.
I really like the framework. Drew's in my group, so I can chat with him about it. But there's a piece where I feel like it would give us a little more structure. And I'm just wondering, if we tend to do an hour and a half of authentic check-in. You say, Drew? That's kind of where we came. And so one challenge is, and like you said, you can stay here longer if you need to. There's a piece where already I think we can have a sense of not getting to everyone, even an hour and a half of authentic check-in. One person might take 30, 40 minutes to really talk through some of their stuff. So I'm debating, like, do I trade that off to do the framework? Because I like the framework a lot. It's helped me, even just in this exercise, and just to be intentional about the discipleship pathway. And then our other challenge is, a decent amount of nights, it's, hey, I haven't seen my wife or kids in like 4 days, so I think I might skip group tonight just to check in with my wife.
Right.
And just regular attendance and kind of frequency. We're not terrible, I don't think, but we're also, there's many nights where people are like, I think I might just need to stay home tonight. It's like, yes, sounds like you need to stay home. So we got to brainstorm that a little bit as well, how to get better participation, more consistency. But I like the idea of the framework. I'll probably chat with Drew about it.
The framework is good. It definitely, I see using it as a guideline, as encouraging. In some ways, our group, like, we authentic check in over text message. Mm-hmm. Some of that comes prior to the group. I mean, we've had texts flying back and forth the last 5 days. Just crap happens in life. We have adapted the needs of our group to, we only meet every other week. And so that authentic check-in has to happen outside of group time. Mm-hmm. So we've adapted in that ways. And in some ways, we're encouraging or asking ourselves to be involved in the word outside of group also. Mm-hmm. That is not something that every group is going to have cultivated. I think our group has been meeting for what, 12 years?
Long time.
Yeah, 12, 15 years. And so a newly forming group or a group with four brand new individuals is gonna need this structure. And we as an old group, like, we get set in our ways and we need to be reminded to do these kinds of things also. So great value in this. I hope that the point person is able to be encouraged and coached to say, given the framework, how is this best suiting your individuals? You know your group. You interact with your group. They're not checkboxes, but are all of these healthy habits being cultivated with inside of your mini demographic that you represent in the Big C Church? And if the answer to that is yes, if authentic check-in happens over text messages and emails, and scripture happens over
me sharing that Proverbs 23 really spoke to me this week, even though I've heard it 100,000 times in my life, then when we get together every other Monday, and I had a huge fight with my wife yesterday, that is going to dominate the conversation. And that's okay, because the other aspects of health for the group are still happening. But that takes a little bit of big picture. That takes a little bit of coaching for the point person to say, is big picture happening? Is everything being done? And it takes buy-in by everybody in the group. If I send a text message out, you know, shoot my need out there to the cosmos, and nobody in my group responds back, I mean, that speaks a lot to whether or not I'm going to show up 2 Mondays from now.
Yeah.
Like, when I shoot a text message out and I get 3 replies in 5 minutes, I'm going to group.
That's good. I have some specific thoughts on how you guys can transition from what you're doing to this in less painful ways.
Yeah. No, I think group be open to it, and I'm actually excited to try it.
Ceremony, I want to give you some time for the announcements that we have. Can we jump to that?
Yes.
I didn't run because I'm sure.
Yes, absolutely. If you're in your life, kids, please be on time.
So we've talked this week, and then also go ahead and listen back to last week's huddle.
Last month's
huddle recording about making this transition to home groups and discipleships that the campus is shifting to be more like our groups, and we're shifting a little bit to be more like their groups. And as we make these transitions to these formats, we are not expecting you to have it done perfectly anytime soon. We would like you to be shifted over to where your group is practicing in this format by the end of January. So between now and the end of January, we'll be giving you more opportunities to practice. I'll be trying to pull leaders together to simulate the groups again, if that would be helpful to you. And just by the end of January, we want you to feel like, okay, I've got a handle on this, I see the goodness in it, but we're still trying to figure out how to make it work. And then 2 Thrive opportunities coming up next Saturday, 9:30 to 11:30, in the balcony next door, Thrive Monthly, which is open to anyone, woman, high school aged and older. There's light refreshments, there's worship, Stevie King is teaching, and table group discussion. And then coming up January 17th and 18th, Friday, Saturday, 2020 is Thrive Women's Weekend. So block that off for yourself or for your partner. The theme this year is grace and purpose from the book of Ephesians, and we're expecting it to be great.
All right. We've run out of time. Thanks everybody so much for coming. Our next meeting is going to be in January. It's going to be the 7th.
Right?
7th. No. 6th.
January 17th and 18th.
8th. 12th. The 12th. I think it's the 12th.
We have it.
Whatever I said in the email. Second Sunday of the month. Pretty sure I think that's the 12th. We're going to try and talk about next year's calendar of events. Part of our goal is to get all of us engaged on knowing exactly what those events are, making sure that they're a good fit for all of us. We've got good buy-in. We'll talk a ton more about that in January. So thanks so much for coming, everybody. Have a good rest of your day. If you have more questions, don't hesitate to engage Sarah Marie and I.